tonight. I appreciate you as brothers and sisters in Christ. I appreciate the Tanner congregation. Years ago, I came and visited this congregation, and so far back, I can't even remember who the minister was at that time. But I remember coming over and visiting. Perhaps it was with a gospel meeting that you were holding at that time. Things are just things. Matthew 16 and verse 26 is where we'll start tonight. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Thinking about the subject, things are just things. By the way, one other thing I wanted to mention. Taught school in addition to preaching for 42 years altogether. And so I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio. Everybody says I'm a galvanized Yankee if I've been down here that long. So anyhow, but it has been a pleasure to work with the Lord's people in North Alabama, and certainly a pleasure to be here tonight. Tomorrow and Friday, if any of you are interested in coming, my daughter is going to have a yard sale. Things are just things. You know, when we think about things, we were just discussing at eating together tonight how that over the years we accumulate things. And now, does that mean that things are wrong? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Things are necessary for us in life many times. We have two political candidates that are running for national office, and no telling how many things they have. In fact, if we think in terms of money, they probably have more money than all of us put together or in a lifetime. Things are just things. And things are relative when we think of Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 13. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, What shall I do, because I have no room to bestow my fruits? We can kind of relate that to the subject of things. What shall I do, because I have nowhere to bestow my things? Over a lifetime, we accumulate things. And each year we accumulate a few more things. On birthdays, we accumulate a few more things. Christmas, we accumulate a few more things. And at some point, we wonder, well, what am I going to do with my things? So we build perhaps an extra room on the house. And that gives us room to expand our things. But then we fill that room and we say, Well, I filled this room. Now what am I going to do? Have a yard sale. Or I will rent one of those mini storage places. And there I will bestow my things. Now, remember what God said to this farmer? He said, Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be that thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Our things. Doing some research on things and what the Bible says about things, I ran across two contradicting statements. One of them said that 11 of Jesus' 39 parables deal with possessions, with things. Another account says 16 out of 38 of Jesus' parables deal with things. one out of every 10 verses in the New Testament deal with the subject of things. Jesus spent more time on the subject of things, second only to his teachings on the kingdom. He offers about 500 verses on prayer, fewer than 500 on faith, but over 2,000 on money and things. So the large number of the things that Jesus talks about is, how do we deal with things? In his ministry, Jesus talked more about those that have too much rather than those that have too little. And isn't that really the circumstances that we find ourselves in here in America? We are so blessed with a country that is so bountifully blessed us with so many things. And so we find ourselves having too much instead of too little. When we think about going to the mission field, it's not unusual when we go to the mission field to find those who have far, far less than we do. With Brother Hoyt Nelson, I made two trips to the Ukraine, and our hostesses were very gracious, and they gave us a closet to put our things in. And when I looked in the closet, there were only two pair of shoes. There were only two dresses hanging in the closet. And I asked somebody about that, and they said, well, in the Ukraine, in Russia, the custom is you wear one dress or outfit, and while you're wearing that, the other outfit that you have is hanging in the closet and is airing out, so that you can wear it on an alternate day, and they alternate outfits. They don't have dry cleaners. They don't have coin-operated laundromats. Noticed on the floor of her closet, there were only two pair of shoes. That just amazed me. And I couldn't help but think back in America, the things that I have and the things that we have. The first trip that I made, I learned from my mistakes. As we were leaving, I packed up my suitcase, headed back to the train, to catch a train and then an airplane back to America. And I had my suitcase with my things. And I had my suitcase with souvenirs that I had bought or been given while I was there. And I couldn't help but think, you know, you really did something wrong. One of the things I learned is that if you go to the mission field, don't bring any of your things back home. Leave your things there because they need your things far more than you need. The next time I went, I came home with far less of my things than I carried over. I left my pants and my shirts and everything that I could leave that they might need. And I thought, you know, here we are blessed with so many things that we have the ability to give. Maybe that's the reason why Jesus in Matthew 5 and verse 42 tells us to give to the one who asks. And we will be judged to some extent by our generosity with things. In Jesus' parables, he mentions things. Luke 15 and verse 11-32. He mentions the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And he mentions the older brother who complained to his father, "You never gave me a ring. You never put a robe on me. you never had a feast that I could share with my friends. And what he was looking at is he was looking at the distinction about things. The father had made a difference. He had bestowed some things on his brother, who we call the prodigal son. And the older brother felt left out, neglected. Kind of like when we opened our study tonight, the young man that came to the Lord and said, "Divide the inheritance between me and my brother." And Jesus' question was, well, what gives me the right to be a divider of inheritance? And so Jesus steered as clear away from that as possible. Luke 12, verse 13 through 34, the parable of what we call the rich fool. Luke 10, verse 25 through 37, the parable of the sower and the soils. And we might say, well, what does that have to do with things? Jesus tells us the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches can rise up and choke out our spiritual productiveness. The use of money, Jesus mentioned so many times, and money is one of those things that we have. The widow's two coins, paying taxes to Caesar, the rich young ruler, the story about Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He talked about stewardship time and time again, about the stewardship of our things. And as we look at the life of Christ, even Satan used things as one of Jesus' temptations, didn't he? The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." All these things. Not too long ago, we visited LaGrange, Georgia, and we went to the Bible History Museum there. If you ever get a chance, go. It's well worth the trip. But as we went around and they showed us what it was like to live in the first century, in the time that Jesus lived, they carried us by a balance in the marketplace. And the man made an observation, our guide made an observation about that balance. And we've heard this so many times, we know. He said, if you put your soul on one side of that balance, and you put all the things that you own on the other side, he said, which one is of more value? And I can still picture that. You know, what does a man profit if we gain the whole world and yet lose our soul? Matthew 6 and verse 21, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so in life, we have to be very, very careful that we don't put too much emphasis on the things, and that we remember things are just things. Now, we rank things in priority, don't we? That's just part of our nature. We rank some things as what we might call heirlooms. And they are priceless things. They are part of an inheritance. And those things mean a little bit more to us than other things. And then we have the things that are necessary for life. Jesus never condemned his disciples for having the things that are necessary for life. But he does say, having food and raiment, do what? Having food and raiment, be what? Content. Be content with such things as you have. In the news recently, we've heard in the news of people who have lost things. West Virginia, the tragic floodings that are there. Out in the western part of America, those who have lost things because of the fires there. And of course, no one has to mention to Tanner, because you're familiar with it, the losing of things in tornadoes that ravish and have ravished the state of Alabama. And we learn some things about things. You know, I think of how many times have we heard somebody whose son or daughter has been in a car wreck, tragic car wreck, and the car is totaled, but the son or daughter gets up and walks away from that wreck. And what do parents say most often? We can replace your car, but we can't replace who? You, right? So that means we as individuals are worth more than all the things that we might accumulate in life. For those who are in their autumn year, sometimes we ask, what do you want for your birthday? And they make a statement like this, I can't think of anything that I need. It means what? It means that they're contented with the things that they have and they really don't need anything. And I guess when we evaluate ourselves, there are things that we really don't need any more of. But still in life, we accumulate things. Sometimes people give us things. My wife asked me one time, thinking about a gift for somebody, well, what do you get for somebody that has everything? And you know, that could really describe any of us here in America, couldn't it? What do you get for somebody that has everything? And we do have so many things. More closet space, a box to put it in. I brought something as an illustration about things. Now, I will just tell you, I did not buy this. It was given to me as a gift. How many of you have one of these things? Anybody? Okay. All right. We know it. We know it as a Yeti. Now, it's a pretty nice thing. And I certainly would not complain for one instant about having it, or wouldn't complain to the person who gave it to me that I don't like it, because I do. But it's a thing. And the reason I brought it is, why do we have these things? Well, you know, like I say, somebody may give it to you, and then it becomes your thing. But then there's another reason. You know, we see somebody with one of these things, and we say, I got to have one of those. You know, I just got to have one. It's a thing. There's another reason why we get one of these things, and why we get a lot of the things we have. A new thing can give us prestige, but it also can give us bragging rights. Look at my new thing. You know, look what I got. You know, all of a sudden, and what's that say? That says that our esteem, our self-esteem, is sometimes tied with the things that we have. Now, granted, if I was to get a new car, I would definitely show off my new car and brag about, I got a new car, that's a new thing. Well, what about these things? Things are indicators of our prosperity and our success. And things do give us bragging rights. And things do give us a certain amount of status. The more things that we have, the higher our status. The more expensive things that we have, that adds to our status too. And things give us a sense of security. They give us something to hold on to. Now, well, I'll get there in just a minute. But you know, if our offspring outlive us, and they probably will, if our offspring outlive us, what's going to happen? They're going to inherit what? Our things. And, you know, now, we have things that are necessary. They're never condemned. We have things that we hold a sentimental attachment to. We have things that we have accumulated over the years. We have things that we think we can't do without, but we probably could, things. But, you know, and then we have things that we need to put in a yard sale, which I'm sure will be done tomorrow. It reminds us of Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And there's no telling how many things that Solomon had. You remember he invited the Queen of Sheba to his house, or she came to his house. And one of the things that he did was he showed her all of his things. And she went away saying, what? The half has never been told. You know, and I can imagine us stepping into somebody's house in America. If we were in the house of any of the presidents of our country, we would be amazed by their things. Have you been to the Biltmore House? How many of you have been to the Biltmore House? Yeah. Weren't you impressed with the things that were there? Wow. Yeah. Now, things get us into trouble when we see things that other people have, and we say, boy, I wish I had that. John talks about it, about things, when he says, the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Oh, I wish I had more things. There are some places where we go to feel miserable. Go to a mall. That's a good place to feel miserable. You go to a mall and you say, oh, I'd like to have that and I'd like to have that. Sears Roebuck catalog. I'm convinced that the Sears Roebuck catalog was a conspiracy against us as Christians, because you looked at it and, oh, we called it the what? Wish book, which means we saw a bunch of things that we wished that we had. Probably didn't need, but we wished that we had. Well, when we talk about a mall, we go to the mall and we see things that we want. And we buy things that we probably didn't really need. And we probably spend more money than what we really have. And that's the way that things get us into trouble in life. We look in our closet and we have more than two pairs of shoes. We look in our closet and we have more than just two outfits hanging in our closet. Question, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon says, I gathered me also silver and gold and the particular treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced at all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. And then I looked on the works of my hands that I had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit.
and there was no profit under the sun. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto another man that shall be after me, and who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool. And when we put our things in perspective, we realize that one of these days, our things will belong to somebody else. Things are just things. The things that we cherish and the things that we value, when we leave to our children or our grandchildren, they may not want it. My children come to my house, and I guess they realize that Donna and I are, you know, one of these days we'll get in the autumn years of our life, and they're kind of deciding, oh, when y'all decide to croak, this is what we want. I want this, and I want that. Put my name on it. You know, things. And I guess it is important that we leave things to our children, and we are blessed to be able to do that. But in God's eyes, things are just things. Now, is it wrong to have things? No. For example, money. Money comes into the category of things. Is it wrong to have money? The Bible doesn't say that money is evil, but the Bible says the love of money is evil. We can kind of transpose that over to things. Things are not evil. But the love of things is evil. Now, why? Well, because the thing that we love the most becomes part of our character. And so if we love things more than we love God, or if we love things more than being caring and compassionate and willing to share our things with others, then that's where the problem comes. The Bible says, all the commandments which I command thee this day, God speaking to Israel, observe and do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware to your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt consider thine heart, that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord chasten thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in all his ways. For the Lord bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and water, and fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. But what happened? Israel lost sight of that. Israel lost sight of the fact that all these things that I have, they're not mine at all. That God gave us these things. Verse 8, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land where thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose wells thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. And then God gives this warning, beware lest thou forget not, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes. Lest after you have eaten and are full and built goodly houses and dwell therein, then thy heart be lifted up and you forget God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me wealth. One of my favorite movies is Shenandoah, starring Jimmy Stewart. At the beginning of the movie, Jimmy Stewart offers a prayer. And his prayer goes something like this: Lord, you know, we have worked this land, and we have planted the seed, and we have reaped the harvest. And it's been a lot of hard work. But Lord, thank you anyway. In other words, he was claiming, and his family were claiming credit for all the things that they had. At the end of the movie, his lost son, who he thought had been killed in battle, returns home. And his prayer changes. And his prayer says something like this: Lord, we realize that only by thy bountiful hand do we have the things that we have. And you have blessed us with these things. So, our things. When you go to the mission field, one of the admonitions and instructions that are given to young people and those in the mission field is leave your things at home. Don't wear your fine jewelry. Don't wear your Rolex watch. Don't talk about what things you have in America to a people who have far less than what you have. Just come over and be yourself. Be a Christian. Represent the kingdom of God first. And don't be braggadocious about the things that you have or that your family has. And I guess that's a problem that we have with things. When things cause us to boast and elevate ourselves above everybody else. Remember James, when he talks about, if there come a man in your midst that has goodly apparel and is wearing fine things, and you give him a place of honor because of the things that he has made a difference. We should never allow our things to make a difference in the kingdom of God. In God's eyes, we are all equal brothers and sisters of Christ with one another. And somebody made the statement, 100 years from now, what difference will it make what kind of house we lived in, or what car we drove, or how many things we had? The most important thing is that we'll have heaven as our home throughout eternity. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, rather than doing what the world does. Seek ye first all the things that you can get and put God second. Thank you for allowing me to speak on putting things are just things, and we put them in their right perspective, and that makes us pleasing in God's sight. Thank you very much for your time.